All right, turn with me here this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Jude. And you might say, where is the book of Jude? Well, the book of Jude, let me give you a hint. There are 66 books in the Bible, and Jude is number 65. So it's kind of towards the end of your Bible, right before the book of Revelation, Jude. And I am going to read verses 24 and 25. It's just a little one-chapter book. And I will read Jude 24 and 25 of this first chapter, the only chapter. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. From this tiny little book of Jude, and Jude tells us this: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what a great doxology this is, and just a great testimony to the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it says here that you are to keep us, you are able to keep us from falling. And Father, that's what we're going to talk about here today. We thank you for keeping us from falling, and that we do know that the perils of eternal condemnation will never, never, ever fall upon those who claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And for that, we are grateful. So Lord, today we're going to talk about that. May it sink into our hearts here this morning. The decisions that we need to make, making Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray, if there ever, ever, today or any other day, if there's ever anybody in the sanctuary who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray today will be that day. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. We are in this church season of Advent, and we are in a sermon series that I have titled, The Christ is Coming Back. For many, many centuries, for the Jewish people, there was always the prophecy and the promise of a Messiah. This Messiah would bring the Jewish people hope and peace and joy and love. Well, this Messiah arrived about 2,000 years ago, and he was born in a stable in a little town called Bethlehem. 33 years after that, this Messiah defeated sin by dying on a cross outside the walls of Jerusalem. 3 days later, after his death, this Messiah defeated death by rising from the grave. And then 40 days later, this Messiah ascended back to the Father who sent him. Who is this Messiah? His name is Jesus Christ. The long-awaited Messiah had come. So why do we celebrate this season of Advent? And the word Advent means coming. When this Messiah has already come to the face of this earth. Simple. The Advent for the New Testament Christian, for the New Testament believer, is in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Our Messiah will return. He promises that he will return. The Christ is indeed coming back. And that's great news. As the Jewish people were promised certain things, so also the New Testament believer is promised hope. Our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. And Romans 5:5 says this, that our hope will not disappoint us. Trust me, Jesus will return. Hope changes our hearts. The New Testament believer is also promised peace. Peace is one of the results of the hope that we have. Jesus says this in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus also says this, as he has overcome the world, we will also overcome our troubles with the peace that he promises. We seek his righteousness. We humble ourselves. We go to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And we live in peace in the midst of our troubles. And trust me, this world is going to throw us a lot of trouble. Peace will guard our hearts. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, that was a quick review of our first 2 weeks of this season of Advent, which leads us to today's word. Today's word is joy. And when you entered the sanctuary today, you were given a gold-colored ribbon. And this ribbon represents joy. And as I said the last couple weeks, I hope that you can keep this in a place where you can be reminded that the believer is to have joy in his or her life. 2 weeks ago, we were given a green ribbon representing hope. Last week, a blue ribbon representing peace. Today, a gold ribbon representing joy. So, what is joy? And no, I know it's a dishwashing liquid made by Procter & Gamble, okay? That's not where we're going here this morning. What is joy? Webster defines joy as this, and this definition is written in your bulletin, a source or a cause of delight. A source or cause of delight. Now, Webster did have other definitions in the dictionary, but I thought that was the best one that best represented joy as we need to look at it as a Christian. So here's a couple questions we're going to answer here this morning. If the believer is to have joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, do you have joy? Do I have joy? Let's be honest. What is the real source or cause of delight in our lives? And I'm going to answer that by telling you a little story. So it's story time with Pastor Mike here this morning. And the story goes like this. It was the Christmas season of 1963, I believe. I think I was in fourth grade. One of the things that I always loved to do was to go grocery shopping with my mother. And she went to the local grocery store, and it was a Kroger's. I don't know why I like grocery shopping. I still like grocery shopping today. I still do all the grocery shopping. I don't know what it is. I just love going there. But this Christmas season, as you walk down the first aisle, and you ever notice you always go in the same pattern all the time, up and down? You always start over here. At least that's the way I do it. Go down the first aisle, and in the back corner was a display of toys. Kroger, for the Christmas season, was selling toys. Well, I couldn't help just stand there and look at these toys, but there was one toy in particular that really caught my eye. And it was, remember these? It was an electric football game. It was about this big, this and like this, and it was metal, it was made out of metal. And I wanted that electric football game so bad. And this was, like I said, the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I told my mom, I said, I want that. I want that electric football game. That football game would really make me happy. It would make me really happy, Mom, if I had that electric football game. Well, we walked out of the store without the electric football game. So I was a little disappointed that day. But, there's good news. Christmas morning, I saw this big box all wrapped up in Christmas paper, wrapping paper, and I knew what it was. It was that electric football game. And I got that football game out, and I unwrapped it, and I set it up. And did any of you ever have one of those electric football games? Nobody here? Frank had one? You had the little football guys, right? You had 11 for each team, 11 yellow guys, 11 red guys, and you put them on this sheet of metal and had yard lines and everything on it. And you plug that thing in and you cranked up that, and these things would vibrate, and these players would vibrate, and they'd be vibrating all over the, you know, half your players are going in the wrong direction, but that's okay. I had that electric football game. If the players went backwards, you just lined them up backwards, so they went backwards and went the way that you wanted them to go. But I had this electric football game, and I loved it for about 2 weeks. And then what happens? The thrill is gone, isn't it? It's gone. There it goes. And then you just kind of take that electric football game that you were so excited about having, And you kind of put it back in the box and you put it in the closet, and that's kind of where it stays until who knows when, until your mom has a yard sale, and then it's gone. Electric football games. I share the story of my excitement with the electric football game because I want us all to make sure that there's a difference between joy and happiness. You see, the electric football game made me happy. There are things in our lives that will make us happy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But happiness has a shelf life. Happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible never promises any believer happiness. But the Bible does promise us what? Joy. It does promise us joy. So we got a few fill-in-the-blanks to fill in our bulletin here this morning. So let's go to our first fill-in-the-blank. And it would be this. If hope changes our hearts and peace guards our hearts, joy excites our hearts. Joy excites our hearts. Happiness is temporary, just like the electric football game. But joy, on the other hand, lasts for eternity, even into eternity. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit that He gives to all believers. In John chapter 16, verse 22, Jesus tells this to His disciples. He says this, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." In this statement, Jesus not only promises joy, but also adds that no one is going to take it away. No one, nothing can take away our joy. A believer's joy will remain forever. So why should I have joy in my life? Or am I still confusing joy with happiness? Why should I be excited? Well, wasn't I listening to my own message last week when I said that believers have worry and anxiety in their lives over family issues, financial issues, health issues, and past issues in our lives that just keep on haunting us over and over again? Every day is a challenge, isn't it? So if every day is a challenge, why should I be excited? Why should I have excitement in my heart? And Mike, does that mean that I have to walk around every day with this big smile on my face, pretending I have joy in my life, when in reality I'm facing challenges every day of the week, and they are tough challenges? How do those two fit together? Well, the answer to those questions rests in the priorities that we all set in our lives. In the back of your bulletin, it talks a little bit about joy, and it gives a few examples of joy. And I'm going to actually take a different route here this morning than those four that are written there. Most of you know the answer to this question because I've asked it so many times in here before. What is the worst situation that could ever happen to a human being? Here are some possibilities. A person could have cancer. A person could be in a bad automobile accident. A person could be going through a tough divorce. A person could be addicted to drugs. A person could have wayward children. A person could have experienced the death of a loved one or a family member. A person could lose their job. There are many possibilities of things, bad things that can happen to us out there in this world. And yes, these are tough situations. And I know, I personally, I don't want to have to go through any of these. I don't. And many of us have been through these things. And they're not fun, are they? They're difficult. But none of these situations qualifies for the worst situation that a human being could encounter ever in his or her life. So the answer, the worst situation a person could ever encounter in their life would be dying and what? Going to hell. Going to hell. And then hearing Jesus say to them when they enter into eternity, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." That, my friends, is the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being. Why? Because, yes, we might go through a divorce. We might lose our job. We might have cancer. We might have wayward children. We might have difficulties in this world. But going into eternity and going to hell, that pain lasts forever and ever and ever. So why do I have joy in my life? Why is my heart excited? Because I know, because of God's promise, that the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being is never going to happen to me. And I hope you can put me on the end of that statement. The worst thing that's going to ever happen to a human being will never happen to me. Amen. Amen. That was a pretty weak me, okay? Let's try that again. The worst thing that could ever happen to a human being is never going to happen to
me.
Praise God. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. My hope. He's my hope. And therefore, I have eternal life. And my joy rests in the security and the assurance of that eternity and that promise that God has given me. And it is secure. My eternity is locked in, signed, sealed, delivered. And I teach eternal security because the Bible teaches eternal security. So let me ask you this, for maybe some people who don't, and I've been part of churches that don't, could you truly have joy in your life if you knew that you could lose your salvation because of some idiotic thing that you do? You can never have joy. And I guarantee you, we all do idiotic things, don't we? We're all going to sin. We're all going to mess up. So which one of those is going to take us out of having our salvation? Take us out of the salvation that we have? Joy and the assurance of our eternity have to go hand in hand. And I want us to have joy here this morning over the assurance of the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. I'm going to read John chapter 5, verse 24. It just so happens to be on the front of the bulletin. And Jesus says this to his followers. He says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Our second fill in the blank in the bulletin would say this, eternal life is not only a future tense promise, it is a present tense reality. It is a present tense reality. Jesus says this, "And believes him who sent me has, present tense, has eternal life." Eternal life begins the moment that you were born again by the Holy Spirit. Eternal life begins the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we need to remember that. Eternal life isn't something that's going to happen in the future. It's something that I got right now. And I bet you a whole bunch of you have it right now too, don't you? Doesn't that give you joy? You have it. You have it. You have it right now. It's a present tense reality. I'm going to read a few more scriptures because we have four more fill in the blanks to fill in here now. I'm going to go back and read John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. And once again, Jesus is having an interesting conversation with people who just don't understand him. And Jesus says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Our third fill in the blank. Jesus gives us eternal life and we shall never perish. We shall never perish. Jesus says that no one can snatch us out of his hand. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Nothing, no one, not the devil, not the enemy, not anybody, not any situation can take us out of the hand of Jesus Christ. And he says this, "You shall never perish." I'm taking that promise all the way to the grave with me, and I hope you are too. I am never going to perish. Oh yeah, this body's going to die. Yeah, it sure will, and so will yours. But where is your soul going to go? Oh, these verses just keep on getting better. Our next fill in the blank, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And some of you know exactly what I'm going to say because the verse is almost just like the fill in the blank. Romans 8:1, Reading out of my NIV says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the fill in the blank says just that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for anybody who is in Christ Jesus. I bet you though, I'll bet you, there are times when you have failed and maybe failed miserably against the Word of God and you just felt so miserable about it, you feel like, gee, I'm condemned. What have I done? Let me tell you, remember this. Condemnation comes from the evil one. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. So I ask, are you feeling condemned or are you feeling convicted? My guess is you're feeling convicted about what you've done. Don't feel condemned. That's what the evil one wants you to think. He wants you and me to think that we are no good. Hey, I just read that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. To me, that's good news. And the good news keeps on coming. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Our fill in the blank, God began the good work in us, and he will see it through unto completion. I'm certainly glad Jesus and God is seeing my life through unto completion, because if it was up to me, I'd never get there. I'm glad he has his hand on me, and he's going to see me through until completion. Remember, he's got you, he's got me, he's got every Christian right here in the palm of his hand. And if he says that no one's going to snatch us out of here, we know this, that he's going to take us right exactly to where he wants to take us. And that's the remainder of our lives, and he's going to see us through the whole thing. We're in good hands, and I'm not talking about Allstate. He's going to see us through to completion. And then our last fill in the blank comes from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And it says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never, listen, perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Our fill in the blank simply says this: our inheritance is shielded by God's power. It's shielded by God's power. Who's going to get through the shield of God? Anybody? Anything? Nothing. Nothing. Our inheritance, our salvation that the Holy Spirit has guaranteed us is shielded by the power of God. Now, we've just gone through a whole bunch of good things here now. We've talked about the fact that it's a present tense reality, that a believer is never going to perish. There is no condemnation for the believer. God is going to see our lives through to until completion, and our salvation is shielded by God's power. So I ask the question again, do you have joy in your life here this morning?
Yes.
Amen. There you go. Amen. Is your joy complete?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know that if you are sitting in here today, and if you are a true believer, that your eternity is secure?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Just think, the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to you, human being, is never going to happen to you. And that excites our hearts. That excites our hearts. On the other hand, I got to throw this in, because I'm not going to be what they call an antinomian. We must remember that the free gift of eternal life never, ever, 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 ever gives any of us a license to sin freely and whenever we want. Okay? We're not going to go there. There's going to be some churches that will teach, hey, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can go on out and do whatever you want. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're supposed to be different people. Amen? We're new creations of Christ. The old has gone, and the what? The new has come. Okay, we're new creatures. We don't, yes, do we continue to sin? Of course we will fail. We will continue to fail. But it doesn't give us a license to sin anytime and every time we want. On the contrary, being a believer is a calling to a life of holiness and a striving to be Christ-like, like the Savior who saved us. We're a new creation in Christ and we must live accordingly. So I wanted to make sure that I get that in, because a lot of people think, well, gee, if I'm really secure and God's got me, I guess that means I can go back and start doing all that stuff that I really enjoyed doing when I was back over here. No, we can't. No, we can't. So what does all this? We're talking about joy, and this is good. But what does all this have to do with Christ coming back? When he does, and he will, the believer is going to be ready. So I'm going to ask just one last simple question here this morning. Two simple questions. Are you ready? Are you ready for his return? Is Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? He paid the price. It took me 40 years to figure this out. But boy, it gets really exciting when it happens. Hope changes our hearts. Peace will guard our hearts. And joy excites our hearts, knowing that we have the assurance of our salvation. And remember, these things, they're not just a Christmas thing. They are a Christian thing. Let's put this somewhere where we can be reminded. And when we see it, let's remember to bring joy, that we have joy in our lives. Let's go to God in prayer.